We're going to read from Ephesians 1, verse 2 to 8. And it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us, he has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding." As you know, we're doing a series on identity, and we're looking at the things that the Word of God says about us as sons and daughters of God, as children of God. And this series has three elements to it. There's the Sunday morning sermons, then there's Grow Group, there's midweek Grow Group, and that's where we discuss and question and appropriate and apply the teachings that are in line with this. And then there's also a devotion. There's a 36 devotions that you can go through during the time of the course. If you haven't got that, there is a table at the back. If you'd like to get involved with a Grow Group, please give us your details so we can tell you where the Grow Groups are. And also, if you would like us to email you the workbook so that you can go through the devotions. There's some lovely, lovely stuff in those devotions. I really, really was blessed in reading it the first time and meditating on it through this time. Right, so just a quick recap from last week. We looked at these three segments. The things that we believe about ourselves, and as we grow in this world and stuff happens, and as we get influenced by the sinful world, we start to believe stuff about ourselves that we believe to be true. And then there's the stuff that God says about us, and that's the real truth about us, because he made us, he saved us, he's the one who knows us best, and he knows what he created us to be. But the trouble is, there's a lot of stuff in Sector 3 that we believe about ourselves that isn't what God says about us. And it's lies that we've picked up from the enemy, from things that have happened in the sinful world that have hurt us, where we might have been bullied, or we might have been let down, or we might have been abandoned, and we feel that we're unlovable, we feel that we're worthless, we're not good enough, and all of us have had that kind of lie thrown against us. But what God says about us is the stuff that sets us free. It's the stuff that we really want. And we've all got a segment one, which is where those two overlap. But what we want as we meditate on God's word, as we listen to the voice of God, we want those circles to come closer together so that the segment two runs over the segment three, and we increase the segment one. And it, as our hearts are illuminated, the lies are eliminated. There's a little rhyme. As we are eliminated, the lies are eliminated, and that's what we're praying for during this course. And today we're going to look at one of the beautiful things, one of the beautiful truths that the Bible tells us is that God is our Father, and that we are His sons and daughters. Now, when I say that, you're going to go, "I know this." Okay, what we're looking at today, we know. It's one of the fundamental, foundational truths of Scripture. But what I pray today is that as we listen to this, God's going to help us to believe it. It's good enough to know it, but we need to believe it. We need to get it to really, really land in our hearts to bring the transformation. And it's very interesting in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 there, it says, "God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's so interesting. There's so much, that statement is so charged with theological significance. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that in the very essence of who God is, we know he's a triune God. There's Father and Son. That Father-Son relationship is essential to who God is. And Jesus' identity is taken from his sonship. His identity is taken from his relationship with a father, with the father. And it says in Luke 1 verse 25, and it's just one of the many passages, therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Do you see that? The name given to him, his identity, prophesied even before his birth, is his identity is going to be based on his relationship with the Heavenly Father, the Father-Son relationship. And Jesus is our model for a life that is free from any kind of disorder or dysfunction or insecurity or personality dissonance. And Jesus had those two circles completely overlapping. He only had segment one. There was no segment three thinking that led to disorderly thinking or feeling or living. And that's who we want to emulate. But what we've got to recognize is the importance of that relationship. How much Jesus' identity came from that relationship. And last week we also looked at this beautiful passage I don't believe this is a passage you could ever meditate on too much. Luke 3 verse 22. It says, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. And again, there's one sentence there. There's one declaration from the Father. There's a short little moment of declaration, but there's so much truth there. You are my beloved Son. There's identity there. You are my Son who I love. That's affection. With you I am well pleased. There's affirmation. And Jesus, the Father spoke that over Jesus and it landed in his heart. And he knew who he was. And no matter how much the world said, be this, be that, do this. No matter how much he was opposed, no matter how much he was tempted, he was like, I am the Son of the Father. And I'm beloved by my Father. And he's pleased with me. And nothing else counts. No other voice counts. And guys, there's a million voices in the wind. And most of them are very subtly arranged by the devil to lie to us about who we are. Because he wants us to behave like him. He wants us to behave like anything other than sons and daughters of God. And there's only one voice we must listen to. The Bible says that heavenly voice said, you are my beloved Son. We must listen only to that voice. That's the only voice we should be attuned to. In the sense of identity. And we saw how the devil tempted Jesus. He said, you are what you do, your performance. Or you are what you have, your possessions. You are what others think about you, your popularity. And all of those P's, if they're the basis of our identity, there's a problem. Because it's flawed. And it can change. We can lose our performance. People can dislike us, they can oppose us, like in Jesus' life. And those things, we will be swayed. We must listen to that voice that comes from heaven. A vital key for today's message is identity is received, not achieved. We receive it from the Father. It is given to us. And the beautiful thing about it is that we don't have to perform. We don't have to possess. We don't have to have popularity with anyone because God gives us identity. Look at this. 2 Peter 1 verse 17. Another instance of God, the voice of heaven speaking. And Peter says, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was born to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Isn't that an amazing statement? This was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter was there. Peter said, we heard that voice born from the majesty on high. What does it say? The majestic glory spoke, this is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. And that's that voice. He was given honor and glory from the Father, from the Father's affirmation. And you know, we look for glory in so many places. We look for that honor. We look for that manna. We know a lot about manna in our nation. And people take our manna and you need to be given manna. But the ultimate gift of manna was from the Father. And for all that Jesus was and all that Jesus did, Peter said, we heard the majestic glory, the only one whose voice counts, the only one whose opinion counts. Maybe that's not totally true because there's also other people who can speak into our lives. But the only voice we should base our whole identity on comes from heaven, from the majestic glory. And he gives us the honor. He gives us the manna that makes us who we are. Ephesians 1, if we just go back to our main passage, we see there that beautiful statement. Just before, it's talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about God our Father. And when we are born again, we're born again into the family of God. When we are born again, we get a new identity. We become new creatures, new creations in Christ. When we call out to Jesus, He saves us, He forgives us, and we get born again into that new family. And our identity is not based on our works or our doing. It's based on a divine gift, a divine choice. And it says that God chose us. God loved us. He esteems us. I was blessed by a story. Tim Keller, a preacher, he's passed away recently, but he said this when, I'm just reading his testimony. When I was very unsure of myself, unsure of myself personally, thinking I wanted to go into ministry, not sure if I could make it, I met a guy called Edmund Clowney, who was an alumnus of Wheaton College, and he was the president of Westminster Seminary. And I heard him speak at a conference, and I walked up to him and I met him. 2 years later, when I was really down in the dumps about my prospects, I heard he was speaking nearby, and I went to hear him speak. And afterwards, I walked up and said, "Hello, Dr. Clowney, I met you before. You don't remember me." But he said, "Oh, I know you." And he named me. He named me. And he said, "Let's go and have a soda and talk. I want to find out what's going on in your life." And he said, it just changed everything. I realized about a year later, if a man who was a great guy, by naming me, not even dying for me, just taking an afternoon for me. And he said, the praise of the praiseworthy is above all rewards. If someone you esteems you, that's the only way to get self-esteem. And he said, what he says is, he wasn't dying for me, he was just sacrificing some time. And there's a great truth in this testimony. If someone who esteems us, if someone we esteem esteems us, and says, "I know your name, you are important to me," that's where our self-esteem comes from. And let's think about Jesus. He esteemed us so much. He valued us so much that he gave everything. His dignity as he hung, stripped, beaten on that cross. His relationship with the Father, as the Father looked away when the sin of the world came upon him and he cried out, "God, why have you forsaken me?" He was in the hell of separation from the Father, and he paid all of that because he esteemed you. That's not just an afternoon. That's his whole life. How can that ever be shaken? If our esteem comes from the esteem of the most esteemed one, how can that ever be shaken because of what he did on the cross? Holy Spirit, help that to settle in our hearts when the storms come. It's so foundational, but we need a revelation. It's not something that can just be heard by the ear and perceived by the mind. Another Tim Keller analogy, there was a Coke machine in their foyer, their building in New York, and you put the coin in, and the Coke can wouldn't fall. So you had to rattle the machine until the Coke can obviously tipped or whatever, and then it fell. And Tim Keller's wife said, that's what we have to do. We have to rattle the machine until the Coke can falls. And that's what we're praying for over this time. May the Coke can of revelation fall. May it drop down into our hearts that we go, "He esteemed me so much. I've got indissoluble self-esteem because of that esteem, regardless of my popularity in the world." Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, please help us to get this. And the thing is, the more we value God, the more we highly regard His opinion, the deeper this revelation is going to be, the more secure we'll be in our identity as we realize who it is that we have been loved by, who it is that has chosen us, who it is that we belong to. And John Piper says this beautiful thing: identity is not so much about who we are, but about whose we are. And if we think about the character of God, the character of the Father, and that we belong to Him, that's where we get our self-esteem from. The other beautiful thing about receiving our identity, our significance, our worth as a gift: we can't be proud. Because when we're performing and we feel like we're doing better than others, we get proud. If it's all about that, if it's not just a gift. Or we feel like everybody's doing better than us and we get despondent. And the esteem that is from a highly esteemed God, that is a free gift, frees us from pride, which stinks, and frees us from despondency, which is a horrible thing. The freedom of this revelation. Oh man, may we get it. May I get it. So beautiful. The legitimacy of God's unwavering love upon us. This meets so many of our deep, deep needs. The need for belonging. The need for significance. The need for worth. There's a beautiful story in the Bible that reveals the sort of God that God is. The sort of Father that God is. And all of us have experienced fathers. And every single one of us have experienced an imperfect father. A sin-broken father who hasn't been able to be a perfect father to us. And many of us have probably got the wounds of that. The lack of love, the stuff. And all of us, those of us who are fathers, recognize how imperfect we are as fathers. And this is a beautiful picture to show us what kind of father God is. In Luke 15 and verse 11, you'll recognize this beautiful story. And he said to them, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country, where he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Can you hear that the pain of that? Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his servants, bring quickly the robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us celebrate. Listen to what the father says. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. So we know the story well. The boy wanted to go off and find himself. He wanted to determine his own identity. And he left all that the father had. And he left his relationship with his father. And he went and he blew it. He messed up. He was left with nothing. And he thought, if I could just go and work in my father's house, I'll see the value that was there. I'll go back and see. I'll try and work a deal with my father. Try and work something back just to at least be there. And we see the father. It's great because there's repentance in his heart. He recognizes what he's thrown away. And he returns to the Father. And that's what the Father's been waiting for, praying for, longing for all these days. And he sees his son coming. And that son has shamed him. That son has thrown the family name away. The son has squandered the father's inheritance. And the father doesn't look at him with judgment. He recognizes the gait, the outline, the profile of his boy from far, far off, because he's been looking for that day. And when he sees his boy, They say in those days that men were dignified, they had long robes, they didn't run. A patriarch didn't run. But that dad was so excited to see his boy. He pulled up his robes and he ran down the road, regardless of what the village thought, regardless of what the neighbors thought. It was his boy, and he ran to embrace him. And it's so beautiful. The father's heart is revealed here in such a beautiful way. He loves his son unconditionally. And Psalm 1, and so this is what we've got to take as a lesson. God lavishes his love on us. He wants to lavish his love on us. The blockage comes that we don't know how to receive that love. And it says in Psalm 103, verse 11, for as far as the heavens, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As soon as we say, Father, I'm coming back. Father, I need you. He sees our hearts and he runs. He runs and overwhelms us with just an unbelievable store of love. And then what I love in this picture is the Father's embrace. The Father embraces us and welcomes us to a place of joyful, intimate relationship with him. And if we see in Ephesians 1 verse 4, just highlighting that passage, how it says the Father ran and embraced him. The Greek there for embrace is approach eagerly, fall upon, throw oneself upon. Just give me a moment, I need to blow my nose. So this is, I don't know how to picture that. Can you picture that? I mean, you've seen that, you've sometimes seen those sort of things. I always get teary at an airport. You know, when people are coming off the plane, you see those like reunions where there's someone maybe they haven't seen their dad for a year or whatever, and they just run and they embrace, and there's something like that, but just like on steroids, because this father's like, he's running and he throws himself, he falls upon his son, and he holds him in this embrace. There's so much delight, so much emotion. There's an irrepressible desire in God's heart to pour his love upon us, to embrace us, to enfold us. Look at what we saw in our text passage, Ephesians 1 verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Bringing us to himself. As the NLT puts it, that's what it was all about. That's why he sent Jesus, to take away the sin that separates us, so that he could bring us to himself, to be with him. No wonder that father was running. What a beautiful, that's the picture of God. He runs to be with us, and he wants to be with us. And it says, with great delight. Look at Zephaniah 3, verse 16. It says, on that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, O Zion, don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is mighty. He is a mighty Savior. Listen to this. He will take delight in you with gladness, with love. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. How amazing is that? God rejoices over us with songs. This is what the Living Bible says. It says, he will rejoice over you with great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you. Is that a joyous choir I hear? No. It is the Lord himself exulting over you in happy song. Can you hear that song this morning? As God looks at you. Can you hear that song? He's singing a joyful song over you. He loves you. He's delighted by you. He created you for relationship with him. Help us, Holy Spirit, to hear the music of the Father's dance, his love over us. Relationship restored. Intimacy enjoyed. God, sheer delight at that reconciliation, at that reunion. Look at what Jude says. Jude 1 verse 24. It says, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Only the work of the Holy Spirit can do that. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is the purpose of the gospel. This is the
Why God did everything.
That one day we'll be able to stand before his throne, worshipping him with no obstacle, not by faith anymore, face to face with the Father, that we can stand there pure and holy in his presence with unimaginable joy, looking at the Father's face, and there's a smile there because you're there that we cannot imagine. That's the end game of the whole story, with exceeding joy. Now I'm struggling to see. The Greek lexicons talk about a piercing exclamation, an exaltation. I don't want to. What does God say? Whoopee! It's like that's the shout of God when that father saw his son coming, and he was running through the town. We've got to catch God's heart. May the Holy Spirit, let's rattle the Coke machine until that drops into our hearts and brings the healing that'll make us strong. We're doing this course in the youth group, and guys, a lot of the youth can't make it here on a Sunday, but please pray for our youth group. I was asked for that. There's a group of young people that I said to them, we're doing this ID course as well, the ID course, that I said, guys, I wish I could save you from 20 years of pain. I wish you could learn the lessons it took me 20, 30 years to learn about the security in God, and I'm still learning it. But I believe this generation, God is going to show us a thing or two through. And shout out to our tech guy who caught the bus from Featherston this morning to get here at 9 o'clock to set up something in this generation, guys. Pray for them. And let's pray they're going to get this truth early and shine in this world. It took me decades, and I'm still learning it. It is a journey. But man, the more we can grasp this, the more the joy we can live in, the boldness, the authority, we're going to see a good number of things that who we are in God. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine. He said the best sermon he ever got about the Father's heart. Was preached to him by his unsaved dad. His dad only got saved at the end of his life, but he was a good dad. And this guy, he was a rugby player, he was always on the A team. And one weekend his dad was always at his games, and one weekend his dad went to a test match, a rugby test match in Johannesburg. They lived in Durban, 600 kilometers. And his dad went to this, he had tickets, and so he went. And I think apparently it was a game against the New Zealand team, just for interest's sake, when you mentioned that. He got dropped from the A team. He heard kind of on Friday or something, he'd been dropped from the A team, and he was playing in the B team, and he was devastated. He phoned his dad and he said, "Oh, Dad, I've been dropped." And he was like heartbroken, and he thought, "Oh, my dad, this is the one time my dad's not going to be there to support me." And he said, when he ran on the field that morning, the first thing he heard was his dad's voice. And his dad's voice said, "Go, Boykie," which is an Afrikaans word. It's like a little boy, but it's, "That's you, my boy. Go, Boykie," as he ran onto the field. And his dad had given away his tickets to the test match, got up in the early hours of the morning, driven 600 kilometers home to be there for his boy. And he said to me, that was a sermon about what my Heavenly Father is like. He's standing on the side of the field and he says, "Go, Boykie. Go, Boykie. Go, Girlie. I'm with you." And he said his dad had brought Coke and pies. And he said the Coke was warm and the pies were cold. But they sat down together and he said, "My boy, I don't care what team you play. I'm there for you. I don't care how much you failed. I'm there for you. I'm delighted to be in your presence. So delighted that I let my son die on the cross so that you could be there." Guys, the story is too beautiful. And we've got to pray that we get it, so that from us the world can get it. May the Holy Spirit help us. Let's enjoy what God has given us. In response, let's be as excited about being with Him as He is with us. And it says in Hebrews 4 verse 16, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The message says, let's walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy and acceptance. Guys, that's where we belong, is in God's presence. And one day we're going to stand there unobstructed. But we can enjoy that presence even now. We can enjoy that love if we can just open our hearts to receive that love. If we don't receive His love, we'll always try to achieve our identity. We'll always try to achieve it. There's one other dimension that I just want to talk about in terms of being God's sons and daughters. And that's the family that we're a part of. And we're on this journey together with a beautiful... Look around you. Guys, these are the people that God delights in. It's not just Joe and Mike and whoever. That's the son of God, a daughter of God. And there's something powerful about being in a Christian community. There's John 13 verse 34 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And here's where God brings us into this beautiful story. And He uses us to share this love, to get this love across so people can receive it. And I want to share a testimony. I was an incredibly insecure, you've heard this, I was an incredibly insecure child. Well, teenager, young man, middle-aged man. But God started a work in my heart. We were on a church camp. And one of the guest speakers was there, and they were talking about the love of God. And I was sitting in the front row, and this guy came and he knelt down. And he like looked into my face, and he said, I like this guy. I like him. God's hand is on him. I can't remember everything I said, but it was a moment of healing, because this significant authority, the speaker, came and said, I like you. And God started to crack open my insecurities. He started to draw me into a realization that God loved me. And if God loved me, it didn't matter what other people thought. And it was a journey, but that was the start of it. It was someone saying, I love you. Wow, guys, that we can be conduits of this incredible love that we've been talking about. So the more we esteem, and I mean, church is a place where you can really get hurt, just like in parents and fathers are a place you can really get hurt. But it's also a place where God does show His love. And may we be a people who know this love, so our love tanks are full. So when we come into a relationship, it's not like, I need love from you. We do need love both ways in relationships. But if our love tank is full from God, we're able to love others and start that journey of healing. There's so much in this beautiful picture. We're gonna cover it as we look at these other things. I mean, that robe speaks of a restoration of righteousness and royalty. The sandals speak of mission and purpose and providence. The ring speaks of authority and representation and provision. And there are unimaginable things that we inherit from God. But we want to just remember whose we are. And it's no wonder it says in 1 John 3 verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the sons of God. We should be called the children of God, and so we are. What manner of love is this? That we should be called the children of God. It's mind-blowing love. We may never fully understand it, but as we understand it, and let's just close with Galatians 4 verse 6. as we ask the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to grab this and get this so we can live in the fullness of it and we can actually be channels of it to the world. Galatians 4 verse 6 says this, "And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." This is what God promises. This is the work of the Spirit in our lives. It's the Spirit of His Son. The Trinity is so interrelated. But we have been given the Spirit of the Son of God, so that we can look up and go, Daddy, Papa, Abba, Father, and live in the fullness of that. We're not slaves. That boy came back and he said, oh, let me just come and work. Let's work a deal. And the father embraced him and said, this son of mine was lost and he's back in the place that he's meant to be, in my love, in the fullness of the inheritance that I have for him. Can we bow our heads and pray? Lord, we recognize this morning that these are amazing, amazing things that you put into your word about who you are and about who we are. And Lord, I know that I've known these things in my head for many years, Lord. And it's taken many, many years sometimes for the quick can of revelation to drop into my heart, Lord. And there's still revelation needed. But I pray, Father, I pray for us as a community. I pray for my own heart. I pray for every single person in here. And I pray for that world out there, God, who is aching for the love of a foreigner. We look at the young people, God, and the pain of fatherlessness, and parents that don't know even who they are, and young people who just don't know who they are, Lord, what they are. We ask you, God, we cry out to you, God. It's not about emotions, but it's about a deep cry, Father, please help us to receive your love, so we can be all that you've called us to be in this world, Lord. And so that we can love others like you have loved us, Lord. And that we can bring the healing of the gospel to the world around us. Please, Holy Spirit, help us to respond. Embrace us in your love, Lord. Transform us by your love. And inspire us by your love, I pray. Thank you for your love, God. Let it settle. Let the coke can drop. In Jesus' name. Let's just finish as we do, just declaring. And then, if anyone would like prayer, if anyone would like prayer for anything, please feel free to come after that song and let's pray with each other and let's pray for that world out there. The love of God is what's missing.